Welcome to Divine Intervention from Dark to Light. I'm your host, Karen Young, and I'm also a spiritual teacher. And the purpose of my show is to gather, experience, and give voice to the untold stories of the divine and how the divine intervened in your life and made a difference. I have questions. Have you ever experienced a dream of wonder or warning? Had divine healing? Felt intuition, voice of a higher power, been touched by an angel, near-death experience, or had a vision that resulted into the divine intervention? If so, I would love to hear from you at 1-888-627-6008. I'll repeat it. I would love to hear from you at 1-888-627-6008. And I'm a non-judgmental person. This is a space of healing. This space, you can tell your story and won't be judged. The purpose of this is to maybe your story can possibly heal yourself or others. And I also want to say that there is a higher calling on your life. And today's evening topic is spiritual journey. And so I want to talk about spiritual journey because I want to talk about mine. I believe that we all have a spiritual path, and I believe we all are on our spiritual journey. And I just wanted to talk about mine today. And I was aware of my spiritual journey. Around age maybe 11 through 13, and I'll say that because that's when everything was like a turmoil in my life with religion and with my church and everything. A lot of stuff was going on at that particular time, so I'll just say that's when I started having having questions, the larger questions about myself and my journey and my spirituality was during that time between 11 and 12. But I'll give you a background of what happened to me and how I come to be the person that I am. And guys, divine listeners, I'm always giving you my stories and I'm always giving it to you straight. And it's always from my point of view. And hopefully, someone can get, whatever input or whatever, help or whatever they can get, inspiration out of my story or whatever, if they can, whatever they can get. But I'm always being truthful in my journey and what's going on and what happened to me and what's going on still with me. So, I was born in a religious family of 11. We really had 12, siblings in the family, but one died and it was before I was born. So I'm number 11, number lucky 11. I have a sister that's number 12, but like I said, it was just 11 surviving. And to make a long story short, we were a very religious family, like a lot of people are. Our upbringing was Christianity, but really sanctified it, if you want to say it that way. Very strict upbringing, a lot of joy, but a lot of rules and strictness in our household. And and we go to church every Sunday and sometime on Tuesdays and Thursdays and things like that, which was, which is fine. I mean, I think church is good. I think Bible is good. I think, rules are good. But then, it was to the point where, I believe that in those days in the 60s and 70s growing up and stuff like that, the church, was very dominant in our life and in a lot of people's life. And it's just that it's not so much in the Bible. The Bible is true and it have a lot of truth in it. And it's the Bible, and it has its own, not rules, but, God rules or whatever in it already. And then you had the church adding on their rules, and everybody's telling you this and that. And we were one of those strict churches where, you couldn't do really anything. I mean, everything was a sin there. Everything was, sinful, really, when I grew up. So in our household, and then I was the type of kid, and my sisters and siblings, we wanted to do everything right. I mean, we wanted to do everything right. We were not rebelling toward what we were told in the Bible, and my mom and my dad, we all went to church, and we didn't rebel toward any of it. I mean, we were really actually serious students. I mean, serious children too. We were really heavy, like, you know, we were believed it. I mean, we really was heavy in the church and heavy in the rules, and it was just, everything was like so serious. And it was also spiritual too, you know, in the church, you know, you know, they have testimonies and stuff like that. And you be involved in service and you sang, and, you know, you had a good time, and it was always the spirit high in it. So I did get my spirituality from church. I got it from the Bible. I got it from all that. But the thing is that it was heavy handed. It was, the dosage was heavy handed with the rules and stuff. And so you just almost grew up like, okay, I repent for everything. It was like we were repenting every night or something like that. And I just wanted to talk about spirituality versus religion from my point of view. You know, I'm not saying, you know, anything's wrong with the Bible and stuff like that. I'm just telling you how heavy handed it was. And the God that I pictured, you know, was angry, or if you did something wrong, you know, you was in sin, you was a sinner, all these things, you know, and you grew up that way, you know, you just constantly repenting. We did, because, I mean, we were just kind of fanatics, you know, we wanted to be right, wanted to do everything right, and we were like serious kids, you know, nobody was as serious as we were. Even the church that we went to, we was probably the more serious, you know, kids in that church. And so it was a beautiful, it was good childhood, but also it was a very strict. We wore sanctified clothes. If some of you are out there, you know that you had people that you ran into that was called sanctified. You wore these long dresses. You had to be a certain kind of way, and it kind of set you apart in school too, as well. And so the truth of the matter is, you know, as we, you know, continue, I think around maybe 10 or 11, the preacher, he was, you know, you don't want to say a cult, but, you know, it was getting to that point where his head was big. Everybody, you know, did what he said. I mean, it became something else. It was beyond Bible, beyond everything. This man was supposed to be, you know, the Messiah, the person that God talked to. He talked to him before he talked to us, and he was ruling, but he became so obnoxious. I mean, I'm just telling the truth. He became just really a ruler of the people, a ruler of the church. I mean, he just became, to not get so much into it, I just want to say that the rules became the game. Everything became that way. And then you put scriptures on top of that and make you feel bad about this and that and the other. And so we were growing up in that situation. So around 11, things start happening in the church that, you know, raise your eyebrows. You know, he had just got really, I can't get all into it in all this program, but I'll just say he got really, very cocky in the way he preached and did things, and everybody just did what he said. They didn't matter what it was. It was just turned into an occult, okay? And so he was throwing people out of church if they didn't agree with him. He was doing all kind of stuff. He was saying things that, you know, he weren't supposed to be saying. He started cursing and all kinds of things. And, you know, you watch as a kid, you watch your parents respond to something like that. And I just want to just talk about religion and spirituality, how I found my own way to God in the midst of all this. And so and so I was confused as to how, and I would look at the adults, I would look at my mom, I would look at my dad around this time, 10, 11, we would go to these conventions because he didn't really live in our town. We lived in Chicago, Illinois. He lived in Philadelphia. And he would come and visit. They would have conventions where he would visit, and we would go there. But he would just get, like, he was getting so out of hand. I mean, no matter if we visit him in, you know, Philadelphia or whatever, he was throwing people out. He threw this old woman out. And I'm not going to repeat what he said, was wrong with her, but he was just derogatory. He was just saying things, and I'm not going to get into all what he was saying, but it was just obnoxious things and blaspheming, you know, things too, and saying things about things that I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, people, they wanted to come to my church too. I mean, my little friends and stuff, but I would be embarrassed because I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what's kind of going on. You know, I'm growing up too at this time. I'm like, I really don't know what's going on, but something doesn't feel right. And when I ask my mom, I say, Mom, what's going on? What's going on with this, you know, church? I could see that it was something, and I could see that it was a change going on, because I could tell something was going on. And so she said, you know, it was always that, don't follow the church, you know, man will fail you, but follow God, you know, and that's fine. And that stuck in my mind. You know, she said, you know, men are, you know, they mess up, but you still got to follow God, this thing, you know. Yeah, you know, but she was still in there. And then she was honest with me. I had a good mother that was honest with me. She said, I don't know what's going on. And my father was looking confused. And my brothers and all of us, we would talk among each other. And we would always say that the devil was trying to tell us something before we said, because we didn't want to say what was really on our mind. So we had these meetings like, you know, the devil trying to tell us that, you know, that Bishop is losing his mind, or whatever it was, that he's gone too far, or what's going on with him. But we didn't want to say it, so we always said the devil was trying to tell us that. But really, it was us waking up to what was going on. We would have our meetings and we would say, we don't understand now. This doesn't sound right. You know, what's going on? When he threw my cousin out, that's what really did it. My sister, my cousin, she was older than us. They were adults, but they were my cousin. My cousin, his wife, they moved to Philadelphia to that church. And he would tell people, you know, they had, you know, they had to go through him to see if they wanted to move and all that. I mean, it just got really weird how you can just let a man tell you whether you can move or not. It was just crazy. Like, it was that cult thing coming in. And so I'm going through all this to tell you, you can be believing in something in a church, but then you have to pay attention to your spirit. You have to pay attention to what's going on with you. I mean, and how it is affecting you. And if it's not in a good way, you need to pay attention and find out what's going on. And so that's what was going on there. But to get back at it, at my story, the thing was, I was telling my parents I didn't understand. And they were saying, listen, we don't understand as well. We don't understand. And that they didn't go into it. They just looked like they were confused. You know, my parents looked confused in a way. And I'm like, okay. So me and my brothers and sisters, maybe just the three of us. I got another sister and a brother and a younger sister. And we would have our own little meetings on the side. But what did it was, my brother came to me one day. We were all saying we were going to go to this convention in Philadelphia to see, you know, our bishop and stuff like that. We always be excited because we wanted to go somewhere, travel or whatever. And we said we wanted to go and visit. And my brother came out and said, because my cousin and they already stayed there, we were going to be staying with them. And at this particular time, so make a long story short, my brother came out and said, the bishop had thrown our cousin out of the church. And we thought all this long that the bishop, we were always praying and meditating and stuff like that. And we thought that, you know, he was with us. We thought that, you know, he was, you know, on the same page we were. We didn't know he could do this, like it could have got to this level where, because there was a lot of people in the church. I mean, the congregation was big. So we didn't know it could get to this point where my cousin was thrown out. I mean, what's going on? So we're trying to figure out, we're on our way up there. We're trying to figure out what happened. Why would my cousin be thrown out? And we didn't really have the information. So we were on our way to the trip to go to the convention to find out. And I was really hurt. I remember me saying, now, this is the bishop. He's supposed to be over all of us. What could have happened for him to throw my cousin out of the church? I mean, I'm thinking he may have asked, you know, her to leave or something like that. When I get there, I find out he physically had somebody pick her up and throw her out, you know, stuff like that. And that ain't the first episode. He had thrown, like I told you, people that don't agree with him or I don't even know if she disagreed with him. She idolized him so much. I don't even know what happened, but I was maybe around 11 then when this went down. And so we went to the church, and my older cousin, which is my cousin, this was his wife that was thrown out, and he was trying to tell us, you know, he didn't really want us to talk bad against the bishop and stuff like that, or question what the bishop did, because they're so dedicated to the man. And this is his wife was thrown out, but he didn't want us to really get, so he was like, they're lying, this and that, and I'm trying to find out what's going on. And then myself and everything was changing within me. I'm like, I don't know. You know, I believe so wholehearted in this church, and I believe so much, you know, in all of this. And now my little life was kind of like, you know, coming apart. And so they was like, well, she was speaking in tongue or whatever, and something happened where she was speaking too loud. I'm thinking that's why he threw her out. And I didn't know. I still couldn't get the straight of it, but I guess she was louder in her speech, whatever, but he threw her out. And so it really made me question things. I was like, wow. So my cousin constantly covered up the situation. I never knew exactly, because it was grown folk stuff. He was talking to my mom. I really didn't know. But inside, I was feeling like, what is going on, you know, as a kid? But anyway, what I'm trying to get to is that sometimes you can be all that you thought, all you thought you knew, all the things that you was taught, you know, everything come crumbling around you at that time. I mean, you know, and then I witnessed him in that same, while I was down there, him throwing this woman, this older woman out. And I think this woman passed away. This has had me really thinking, when he threw this other woman out, older woman out, and he said something derogatory about her. Then now, these are elderly people. Now I don't know what she said or did, but I got a chance to see him like throw her out. And next thing I know, they had threw her out, and it looked like I think they said she passed away, but the ambulance had to come get her. I mean, nobody was saying anything. I mean, and then they yet again, you know, I have to question what's going on. And asking my mother what's going on too. And they all just, you know, just believe. They'll tell you, you know, believe. As long as you believe in God, don't question it. Everything is don't question it. It was always about don't question it. And I believe that even you can question the Bible, because God is not afraid of that. If God is God and he's vast, you can question anything. You should be able to question anything. And, but, you know, that was the ongoing thing at the time. Don't question anything. So there you were, you know, you're kind of scared to question anything. You kind of, you know, but inside something is saying, this is not right. And we were, and then my brother and sister, we'll get together. We'll hover around. We're like, what is that about? Then you hear somebody on the outside, you know, that's not a part of church, like, she got threw out. Wait a minute, this is crazy. You're hearing other people like, yeah, they sound more like what I'm really thinking. This is crazy. So then he would, you know, that service, I'm just going to tell you a few things, you know, what was leading me in my journey as to how you have to sit and find out what's going on in your own journey. Even at this age, I was on this journey, and it was a spiritual path, but this was leading to my spiritual path. And so he would come down. He would be late. I mean, hours late, you know, we waiting on him to preach and do what he have to do, but he would come down hours late. It was okay no matter what time he came. They worship him. They love him. My thing is, you know, worshiping these people and loving. This really wasn't a cult, because they really, no matter what he did, they worshiped him. And so he can just come in, he can curse, he can do whatever. You hear me? He can do whatever he wanted to. They were just like, he's the bishop, he's the blessedness, you know. And this is all sinking in my mind, like, you know, what? But my mom, I'll tell you, she's my savior, because she always says, she said, you always stick with God. She said, you always stick with God, Jesus. She always would tell her, I don't care what the man do, whatever. She always put that in our mind, that seed. You stick with God, you stick with Jesus. Nobody's greater than God. And she would always say, nobody's greater than him. And she would pray for him and stuff. Stuff like that. But she kept that in my mind. So that, just to let you know, that helped me. A lot of them, they didn't tell their kids all that. They just like, you just need to believe and follow the blessings, follow Bishop. You know, a lot of kids, you know, it was just almost like we was programmed. I don't know. We were brainwashed in ways. And so, but always my mom had that headroom, and I always had that little headroom that my mom had. So it was like, you know, always channel God, you know. And so I always knew that that's what she said, you know, channel God and pray to God and know that God is the power, all in all force. And so that helped. But it was just a lot of stuff going on. He would do all these things and curse people out, all kind of stuff, you know. And me and my sisters and brothers, we, by the time we left this service this time, we had left before, but we were older, we were much wiser, and we were like, something is wrong here. And we just stopped saying the devil's telling us something wrong. We started saying, something is not right up in here, but we felt guilty. The guilt was always bothering us that if you ever leave and stuff like that, you would go to hell and, you know, all this, and God, you'd be in sin and all. So we always were still constantly repenting and stuff like that. So I'm just telling you my spiritual journey and why I'm the way I am and how I, you know, reach God myself. And so anyway, I continued to have these conversations with my sisters. So by the time I was age 14, 13, my sister left. She was really courageous. She's 1 year old. She told us, she said, I left the church. And we was like, what? And she was like, I left. And and we were like, wow, she left. Well, we're leaving too. And it took a lot of courage because, you know, you have all these things going on. And then I forget the guy's name, but he was in Guyana. I think he gave somebody this juice or whatever. At the time, it was going on. I forget his name right at this moment. I can't think of his name. But he was in a cult at that particular time when that was going on with us. And believe it or not, that helped me. He was in Ghana or somewhere. I forgot his name. You know what? His name is not coming to me right now. But anyway, he was had a church, had an organization where he was had them way somewhere, drinking Kool-Aid, and was dying. And a whole congregation or whatever had died over there. I know y'all probably heard the story if you're old enough. And, you know, I forget his name. Jim Jones, I think his name was. Jim Jones. But at that particular time, that was what was happening. Believe it or not, his story and him acting like this and doing this, I could relate it to myself at the age of 13. And I said, hey, you know, when I left, then I wasn't so guilty. I'm saying, but I was supposed to leave because look at this guy on TV. He didn't just, if I'm not looking and paying attention to what's going on with me, even then I had that spiritual thing going, you know, that intuition thing I always talk about, God. And I had that then, and I was examining that, and I said, this Jim Jones guy, is look how far he done took this cult thing, and he got them drinking this stuff, and they all died, the cyanide, whatever it was that they were drinking. I could see that our preacher could be headed in that direction or on the same page. It just seemed so familiar and similar to me. And in my mind at 13, I'm like, okay. I did leave right at the time that I should have left. But I was in such, guys, it was such turmoil because I was born in this church. I was born all this stuff. I was born, you know, they telling you you're in sin. You know, you can't do this. You know, God is angry. All this stuff going on in my mind and affecting me in ways. And so, but still, I knew that this was the way to go. I knew it. I said, no, we leaving. And my mom, okay, she didn't leave right away. My dad died. I think he died confused. And I always said he died out because he didn't know what to do. I really believe that. He died of a confused man because he believed so wholeheartedly. And when that start going on and that cursing and that uprooting or whatever, and it just shaped everything. It just shook up everything. It just shook up all your beliefs. It shook up everything. It made me question everything. That's why I said, yes, I can question everything, including the Bible. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it that God don't mind me questioning, because if it's truth, it's truth. And, you know, God is not that sensitive where, you know, oh, you can't question it. No, you can question anything. And you're supposed to question everything. And so that gave me the courage to question this religion and get more into it and said, no, this is not what I want to do. This is not where I want to go. I didn't know where to go, but I wasn't going back. And I have to admit, I had a thing with churches for a long time after that. You know, I started my journey, you know, just for a while, I didn't do anything. I just wanted to be free of everything, if you know what I mean. I just wanted to party. I wanted to just get be a kid. I think, you know, I was becoming more of a kid than I was when I was a kid, to be honest with you. It's like I'm getting younger and younger, even now. You know, it's like I was so serious and so, you know, bound down with all this religion. What I'm saying, guys, is that, you know, religious versus spirituality, and that's what I'm bringing in today, that even that was the beginning of my spirituality, to question everything. So my questions meaning more of what's going on with me, more of what's going on with my own spirit, and that's where I'm trying to go. Don't just go be led and led and don't check and examine your own spirit and go with your own guts and your own spirituality that's within you, the divine that's within you, that divine that's telling you what's right for you. Okay? Don't just be nilly because your parents or whoever said it don't mean it's right. Just all I'm saying is explore your own spirituality. Explore it for yourself. Explore it for yourself. If it's God that you're exploring, explore it for yourself. Don't let somebody else tell you what it is. And that's what spirituality to me is. It's an exploration for yourself and God. It's between me and God, me and the spirit. Christ conscious spirit, God, Jesus. It's for us to examine and us to explore God. And God wants us to do this. Believe me. Explore for yourself. Not from what you was told. Not from what you, you know, heard, read, or whatever. Explore your spirituality yourself. Yourself. Ask. Do whatever it is that you can. Ask yourself questions. If you want to search or research, whatever it is, what's going on with me? Why was I here? What's my purpose? God, how do we align with me? How do I align with you? What is this about? What is this whole spiritual journey about? You have to explore your own spiritual journey. You can't let somebody talk you into what it is, because it doesn't mean all paths lead to God, but you may be going at it differently, exploring a spirituality different from somebody else. Maybe Bible is that person's spirituality, and that's okay. But at least you looked at it for yourself. At least you explored it yourself. At least you discovered it yourself. Even though they told you explore it yourself, still do it. Still find out who you are through your own spirituality and God. And what I had to do is I had to find God myself for all the stuff my mom told me, my dad told me, the church told me, all that was going through. I had to go and get into my own exploring journey myself. And that's what's happening then, and that's what's continuing happening now. But what I'm saying is a build to it, because I had to cut the middleman out. And that was the preacher. I'm sorry. Whoever that was in the way of me saying that, because he was saying that we had to pray to him. He had to pray for us for our prayers to get to God. I mean, it got that crazy. because it was filthy, like filthy rags when we prayed. But when he prayed, he got a direct, you know. And no, you don't. We all have a direct connection to God. We all have a direct connection to God. He created all of us. There's nobody better or whoever than us. And so that's what you have to discover. You know, even with your own teachers and your spiritual teachers or whoever it is, no, you have a direct connection with the divine. You have a direct connection. Because why? Because he made you. We are the same source. We are the same source. So therefore, we have a direct connection with the divine. And so I cut the middleman out. I cut the church preacher out. I cut all the people that was looking like they were telling me where I should be. I cut them out. And I was having my own direct source, my own direct connection with God. And me having my own direct connection, I have the answers that I need. I ain't saying that I'm, you know, answer free, but for me, my spirituality is with God and within God. And the truth is where it's at. And that's where God is. That's where that whole connection is. It's where God speaks to you one-on-one. If you allow it. If you say, well, oh, it's not well, you know, okay. I just let the man continue to tell me what I need to know. And that's fine, too. I mean, everybody got to explore it in their own way. I'm just telling you my spirituality and my situation, what happened to me and what made me come. Because it was like, everything was against me, you know, when I was a kid and coming up. It was like, you know, the devil was a big part. You know, my mom always, you know, she rebuked the devil. And I just couldn't understand, you know, then we always had to tackle with the devil. We had to tackle with people. We had to tackle with all this stuff. It just seemed like it was just a battle within myself. And it was. It was just always a battle with the sin and, you know, I'm sinful. I'm doing something. You just feel unworthy. Basically. And that's not where the divine wants us, feeling unworthy. He made us and we're all worthy. And I was just, you know, lost in that for a while, you know, for years, you know, and I just had to realize, you know, I'm not unworthy. God told me. He had shown me in so many ways. He showed me his love. You got to be connected so you know the real connection of God. You are loved, unbelievable. God made you. Men tell you you're not. You're this, you're that, you're sinner, you're this and that. And it just was a whole roller coaster for me. And it was hard, guys. I mean, it was hard because I was constantly feeling guilty. And then, you know, the church would always tell you, the church that I was in, you know, you need to come back. You're a backslider. Things like that. You're a backslider. You know, you need to come with us and come back, you know. And I never felt that way once I left. I mean, and I don't mean to be mean. It's just that I didn't want anything to do with that church when I mean, I have cousins that come up and visit me now that's still in that church. And they say, oh, the bishop, he died, you know, a long time ago. We have someone else. And that may be true. And they, you know, they have someone else that's, you know, ahead of them or whatever that's not like that. And my cousin would still be trying to get me to go and visit the one that's in Chicago that I grew up in. And they would, you know, try to get me to go. But I'm like this, you know what? I already experienced that. I don't want to turn back. I don't have anything against. It's just that I had to forgive that part of me in my life, and it still comes up. I mean, I still, you know, have problems with sometimes, guys, you know, I'll be in the church visiting. I'm just being honest. You want me to be honest. And my sister's church, because I asked my other sister went to church, and one time I went to church with her. I'm just going to tell you what I experienced. And because in my church, the guy, I mean, the bishop, he had all the money. He was so rich. He had, you know, gold bars and stuff. But anyway, so I'm sitting there and the preacher, I don't know, he was talking. He was sitting on some kind of throne or something. I don't know why they had him. Like, he was just above all. And I was just feeling like I just had some kind of way with the preacher. I know I shouldn't, but I was just having those kind of feelings But I would never let somebody just take over me. You know, I was there, but I'm still having those. So I know I have to get, what I'm saying is, it still worked for me. And it was just looking like he was doing the same thing, my preacher, in my mind. You know, this lady said she won the lottery and she was going to give him 10% and all that. I mean, and it's her business if she want to give him 10% of her $100,000 or whatever she got. But I was just in memory of that, and I need to work through a lot of stuff, you know. So this is an ongoing thing, but I've gotten over a lot of stuff because I've, you know, I've consulted God myself. And so to make, you know, to make you understand, I still have these things and with me that I carry, you know. And I'm wrong with churches, guys. Don't, you know, I'm not saying, it was just my experience of not so much of church, but it was my experience of religion, you know. And ain't nothing wrong with religion. I believe religion is good. It's a good pointer to where you need to be, and it's telling you where you need to be. But God is the spiritual, and the spiritual being of Christ consciousness is who you really need to connect to. Not with all the rules, not with all that. You need to connect with the trueness of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, Christ consciousness, Jesus. You know, and you need to connect with that, and that only. You won't go wrong, believe me. I mean, and I'm not saying the preachers can't tell you nothing, but I'm just saying, you know, cut the middleman out. I mean, you can go to church, but go with God directly. Have a direct signal to God. Have a direct signal with God. And that's how my experience happened for me. And I'm happy. Had this didn't happen, I probably would be guilty and left the church and thought I needed to go back and had all kind of, but everything happened to you. Everything happened, especially a perfect storm for me, and to teach me that I didn't need a person telling me who God was. It's what I got of it. I didn't need to have that. But all that happened to me for a reason. All that, you know, and it's really more, guys, but I'm not going to get into it. But it was just, it shaped me starting in my early teens to pay attention. And I know that I've always had that spirituality because I was brought up with it. And I always knew that God was within me, and praying was it, you know, and having that connection was it. It was really who I was inside, but I needed to cut everything else out and just have that relationship with God myself. Have that relationship and explore this spirituality myself, my spirituality own journey. Nobody else's, because nobody can live your journey for you. Nobody can have your spiritual journey but you. And the source and all the paths, wherever they lead to God. They're leading to God on your own spiritual path. It's leading to God. So what I'm saying is, you know, you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to your life. You need to pay attention to who's telling you what information is, you know, being said to you, whether it's church or wherever. I don't care where it's been coming from. See how it feels in your body when they're saying it, you know, whatever it is. Make sure, you know, it's connected in a way where it's connecting with your spirit, where you get the right information, you get the right connection, and you will go to the next phase of what God wants you to be and how you know, you can flourish in the spirit on your own journey, and how your energy will be filled with God and filled with love and peace and all that goes along with God. You know, God is vast, and he will show you, and the angels and all that shows up in the right way. It has in my life. But I had to just kind of go through that spiritual journey versus, you know, that religion. You know, you can't wear a dress. You can't wear this color. Guys, it was crazy. I mean, you can't wear red. You can't wear lipstick. You couldn't wear, you know, God don't care about that. I mean, fingernail polish and all this, it was just down to your fingernails, down to your pantyhose. You know, it was like you just had to be a mute, I don't know. I don't know if I'm saying immune. That's not the right. But you just had to be so wrapped up in all this clothing and all. This is not where God is. God is with the heart, with the spirit, with love, with all that means, that value, that means what we really are, the whole source of it, the whole divineness of it, the whole truth of it. That's what God is. It's not all in this other stuff that really don't mean, this materialistic stuff. It got so crazy, with that church. And so when I left there, I'm like, I just want to be free. I mean, for years I had just been free. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I didn't do nothing crazy because I've always had that divine in me, but I just wanted to live because as a girl, as a kid, it was just so much restrictions and all this, and I'm still restricted in some ways, I would say, but because your upbringing, but still you have to, challenge that, what that you whatever that you was learned, that you feel that don't be afraid to challenge it. I mean, at least not, even if you don't want to say challenge, don't be afraid to question bigger question, what does this mean? What does it mean to me? I mean, does God really, care about all this stuff? Does he care about your spirit and how you treat people, how you treat one another, how you give value in this world? What's your purpose in this world? How are you going to show up in this world instead of all this petty stuff that's going on? And it was just a lot of mind control, I think brainwash type of stuff that was going on up in there. And I just wanted to really kind of give you a glimpse of me, which is Karen, where I'm, why I remain a student of this. I remain a student of God, student of divine, that I'm just not stuck in just one way. I let God lead me, and I'm fluent in the spirit because of this. This is who I am because of it. And I needed all of this. I guess, we all need whatever it is that bring us to where we are. Remember that wherever our paths took us, I mean, whatever we had to go through, in the past to get us where we are, we needed all of that. And I needed every bit of all of that to know that I'm free to choose God. Okay? I needed all of that turmoil in my early 20s or whatever, age 11 or 10, to see that, I didn't have to depend on men to be spiritual. I didn't have to depend on a church to be spiritual. And to know God. I'm not saying don't go to church. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I didn't need to have a brick building in front of me or a man standing in a pulpit to tell me who God was and who I am relating to God, and that I can pray and get my answers, and I can pray and have direct contact, because I'm telling you, he was kind of saying that. And so I really had to get that really in my mind, even though I was praying when I was a kid and I knew I could get correct, but he was saying stuff like that, so I had to find out for myself in search of my own spirituality, my own spiritual journey. And I invite you guys to do the same. I invite you guys to do it if you haven't done it. If you are doing it, sweet, continue to do it. Continue to get into the divine, get into God, get into Christ consciousness, get into it more and more. The more you get into it, the more you know about yourself, to know who you are, the more truth of who you are. Then you know the truth of who everybody else is. It's the source of God too. And when you know that, you won't hurt another. You won't hurt another because you know you're the same source of God that made us all. You know that God is inclusive. He's not decisive. He's not saying, you don't belong here, deciding or separate. No, that's not God. God is inclusive. Everybody's in union. Everybody is the source. Everything is the source. It's all there is the divine. That's all there is. Even him that did that, what he did, he was still a divine being. He just didn't know it. He knew he was divine being, but he got caught up in some kind of way. And I always felt too, even with the bishop, somehow I just knew this too within myself. And I'll just say it, even though he was acting up and being that way and being that spirit, I always knew. I said, when I got older, I said he was a victim as well, because he was caught up in the church as well. He was told these things, and I think he had a way of just rebelling. Seriously, I believe he rebelled against all those rules that was put upon us, because it was extra rules other than the Bible. It was just extra. You couldn't do this. Everything was a sin in that church. Just everything was just a sin. And you just can't live like that. Everything was a sin. You just repent all day long, 24 hours a day. I repent. I'm sorry. I repent. And that's not where God is. That's not where he's at. I mean, you can repent and say sorry, but it was just like all the time, because all the rules they put on top of that was a sin. So you just was feeling sinful all the time. And it just wasn't. It was just red polish. It was just a red dress. It was, you know, that. And what I'm saying is, guys, divine listeners, to examine your lives, examine your journey, stay on your journey in truth, who God really is, and in truth to who you really are. You know, if you want to look at your past and stuff like that, like I said, all that was in the past was needed to catapult you to where you are now. And all of us, all our journeys put us where we are now. And we're not finished, because we're eternal beings. So we got more to learn, more to explore, more to know about God. This is a vast God. This God is, there's no words for it. So you have to know that your spirituality runs deep. It runs really, really deep. So, I mean, you know, that's how mine started. I mean, probably started before then. But when I realized that I had to find myself in God, and I had to realize that the Christ consciousness was within me, that I could seek it. I could ask questions. I could live in it, live in that energy, live in the spirit of divine. I can live and be in that and become it, because I am it. I'm a spiritual being, and so are you. And so we all can do it, and we all can learn from our past. And I had to learn to forgive my past as well, because it's just so much that I'll see some of the stuff, you know, peeling up. But I know that I have been healed too, guys, from all the stuff that was going on. And I didn't tell you guys everything. This guy was cursing and doing all sorts of things and saying all kind of things and being very abusive in ways where, you know, we fast and stuff like that. 40 days and stuff like that. And he'll say, you know, you all have to fast for 40 days. And then he'll come in and he said, I'm not starting my fast. And we like, you know, but we have to fast, but he don't for 40 days and stuff like that. I'm just, you know, stuff is coming up as I think. And I know that I'm on my show, but I'm just saying all that stuff, I believe a lot of it I healed a lot of it. I mean, I asked God to heal a lot of it. And, but, you know, sometimes those things, you know, how things come up or spill over. But it's part of my journey. It's part of my spirituality. It's part of what I needed to have to become who I am in spirit and become to know the truth of who I am. And I'm sharing this for you guys to explore more of your spirituality. I mean, you know, religion, it's all right. It's like I said, it points to the right, you know, thing. It'll point to Jesus. It'll tell you what he did. It'll show you examples of what he did and a whole lot of truths and things like that. But your spirituality is one-on-one with the source, with the Christ consciousness, with God. And that's where it's at. It's your own personal journey with God. That's the way I see spirituality, your own personal relationship with God, how you relate to him and how he speaks with you, whether it's in soft voice through dreams or whatever. That's why you hear me talk about, you know, dreams and stuff like that, how God, you know, in the higher calling of his voice or how you hear him. You know, you can hear God in many ways. He's everywhere. You just got to be open for it and know that, you know, and have faith that, you know, and you don't even have to have faith, but, you know, I'm having to worry, but sometimes people do need that. They need to have faith that their answers are prayer, answered. And prayers are answered. But I'm just saying, explore that more. Explore yourself more. Ask more questions. Ask the bigger questions. Ask more questions and more of yourself and your spirituality so you can get the answers from God. And he'll give them to you. You have to be open for him, and you have to be open for yourself to know that this is a loving God. Because the way I was brought up, the guy was angry all the time in the childhood. God, he was angry. He was ready to strike. Everybody was a sinner, and you know, you just had to tremble at his feet and stuff. And it's just not that kind of energy. God is love. It's just not that once you really explore God for yourself. It is nothing like you thought. It's the truth. And the truth is always the truth. Truth is that you're human. You're a divine being. You'll always be a divine being. You're the eternal being. So you're with the source. And the source is with you all the time. He'll never leave you wrong. The angels are with you. They'll never lead you wrong. You have to call them in for help. And all there is. You have to have the Christ consciousness to help you, guide you, do your personal spiritual journey. You need God to, you know, to guide us. And that's what happened to me in my spiritual journey that I'm continuing in. And the reason why I have my show and the reason why I want to share the truth of who God is through me. And through me telling the truth of what's going on with me. Because I'm going to always tell you what's going on with me as far as divine and the truth. So that's my story as far as my spiritual journey. And it's still going on. It never will stop. I mean, but that's how mine started for me. So some may have had similar, some may have a different story, but whatever it is in your story or whatever it is in your journey, know your journey is your journey, but it's for you to explore. Nobody else can tell you how to explore it. And nobody can tell you that that you can't have a direct connection with God. So that being said, that does it for us now. My next show is April the 20th, 8 Central Time. We're going to continue our conversation, a divine discussion. But in the meantime, you can contact me at divine, D-I-V from dark to light, gmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, and God bless you. And remember, your journey is yours. It's a spiritual journey, and your journey is for you to explore. And good night, everyone. I hope you all have a good week. God bless you.